Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Abraham, father of Isaac, grandfather to Jacob, and patriarch of the tribes of Israel, was called a friend of God by James, sharing from the book of Isaiah. Abraham's life of and by itself was significant and could be made into an incredible book or movie. In one account, Abraham meets the king of Salem, Melchizedek, who was also priest to the Most High God. Bringing bread and wine with him, he blessed Abraham, at the time known as Abram. Melchizedek also offered a blessing to God, as God had delivered Abraham's enemies to him. Genesis 14, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. This account is retold in Hebrews, where more detail is given to us, that this Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, was also the king of righteousness, king of Salem, and king of peace, without father, without mother, made like unto the Son of God, remaining a priest continually. It was to this Melchizedek that Abraham gave the tenth part of the spoils after his slaughter of the kings. Hebrews 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. With Abraham, we see this account of the king of peace. Later, in the time of Joshua, when the children of Israel were taking possession of the promised land, they came to the city of Jericho, where they met the harlot Rahab, who, for the Israelites, became a convenient cover. Even with that, word got back to the king of Jericho that spies from Israel were in the city and staying at Rahab's house. Rahab was ordered to produce the men so the king of Jericho could deal with them, and Rahab instead hid the men, so they could not be found and lied about where they were. Rahab's motivations in helping the spies are not given to us in Joshua. We know her actions were later accounted to be actions of faith. Maybe she came to the understanding that Israel could not be stopped, and she wasn't going to stand in their way. Maybe she thought it wouldn't be good for business when a harlot rats out who was staying with her. Whatever her motivation, her actions were accounted to her as an act of faith. Her only demand in helping the spies of Israel was that her life and the lives of her family be spared when the city was attacked, to which the spies agreed. Joshua 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shechem two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the women took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, They shut the gate, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all they that have, and deliver our lives from death. But the men answered her, our lives for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Hebrews records for us that, in fact, Rahab did not die per her agreement with the spies, because she received the spies with peace. Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Through an act of peace, Rahab's life was spared, and Melchizedek was the king of peace and the king of righteousness, linking peace to righteousness. Righteousness and peace are also linked together in the Psalms, with God described as speaking peace to his people, where mercy and truth meet, where righteousness and peace kiss. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Great peace comes to those who love God's law. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Proverbs tells us that when our heart keeps the commandments of God, it not only adds to length of our life, but it also brings peace to us. When coupled with mercy and truth, as we find favor with God and man. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Isaiah gives us a prophetic description of the Messiah, telling us a child will be born who will bear the weight of the government and be called by many names, including the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When Jesus came as a man, he shared the peace he had with the disciples right before his death. The peace that Jesus shared is not the peace that this world knows, nor is it shared with us in a manner that things are shared with us in this world, because the peace that Jesus shares with us is spiritual. The peace that we have through Jesus is in stark contrast to what the prince of this world shares. As a reminder for all of us, while we know the peace of Jesus, we know the peace of Jesus living in a world where the prince of this world shares evil influence. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Everything that Jesus taught was not so that we would live in fear of the evil that we see in this world that comes through the prince of this world described by Jesus. What Jesus taught was so that we might have peace. Notice what is written in John chapter 16, starting in verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. This peace that we might have does not mean we immediately have peace. Peace is something we might have, or we might not have, with each of us being the variable in our life. To simplify matters, what I will share with you is that if we want peace, through Jesus, we will have peace. But if for some reason we do not want peace, rejecting the offer of Jesus, we will not have peace. Peace can be a mark of the calling of a person. When Jesus sent 70 disciples to share the gospel, they were told to offer peace to each house they entered, and that if the Son of Peace was there, if the people were being drawn to the Son by the Father's calling, peace would be there welcoming the peace that had arrived. When the gospel is presented with peace and accepted with peace, that peace can be a mark of the calling of that person. It is not for us to determine how or when a person is called to Jesus by God the Father, but peace is something we can determine through faith to be part of our life and how we interact with others. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. With a focus on peace, that Jesus would give to us peace, one might conclude that Jesus only brings peace. The reality is, Jesus brings division. While each of us is given peace by Jesus, what we just read shows that the peace that we have is not always accepted. Sometimes the peace that we have is soundly rejected because others do not have the peace that we have through Jesus. The division is caused by a rift between those with peace and those without peace. Luke 12, verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This division between those who have peace and those who do not have peace is touched on by Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians. Paul was explaining to them how their worship service was chaotic, focusing on the individual rather than what would benefit the group. Paul acknowledged that the people came with ideas to the worship service and then encouraged them to be deliberate in speaking to edify, speaking to make the group stronger, instead of just speaking for other reasons like to make the speaker look good before the listeners. Paul expected that what would be shared would be so that all may learn and that all may be comforted. The message to be shared was not to inflate the ego of the speaker. Paul then clearly stated that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Knowing that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, should lead us to naturally want to better understand that peace. The peace that Jesus gave the disciples that the world does not have. Peace is something we must want and follow along with righteousness, faith, and charity. Our ability to follow peace is limited when there is conflict within the church, and that comes from foolish and unlearned questions. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Those foolish and unlearned questions are not questions of faith, but are attempts to fill in the blanks when we are not given every last detail in the Bible. If we want peace within the Church of God, we must avoid foolish and unlearned questions where speculation becomes a focus. Because we are human, and because people naturally want to understand what's around them, we speculate on many, many things, not just those things in the Bible. When somebody is late and the reason is not known, the mind will speculate and determine a reason even when the opportunity presents to directly ask for the reason. When it comes to prophecy, speculation can look more intense. Notice that John wrote in the book of Revelation, I saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Some, through speculation, try to develop exact specifics to explain this imagery. While prophecy is important and is history written in advance, it is God and not any of us who will write that history in its final form. Instead of following speculation, we are to follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. We are to follow peace with all men, and we are to follow holiness, that righteousness, faith, and charity that Paul was writing to Timothy. And we are to diligently follow that peace and holiness, making sure we do not allow roots of bitterness to trouble us. By the way, those roots of bitterness don't have to start with us. Another person can be bitter, and because misery loves company, bitter people try to get other people to be bitter. We also have to diligently follow peace and holiness to avoid sin. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Notice how in what we just read, roots of bitterness are what cause many to be defiled. Instead, we follow peace and holiness with all. Peace is not something we just desire. We must follow peace. For instance, when we wish people peace, we are implying a wish for the blessing of God to come to them. Sometimes following peace means as we are able to help, we provide for the needs of others. Just like faith comes with obedience to God, peace and holiness come with action. James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James later writes that the wisdom that is from above is fierce, pure, and then next on his list is peaceable, followed by gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy, and that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In Galatians, Paul contrasts the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. Among the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If we are being led by the Holy Spirit, peace is a spiritual quality we will have. If we sense peace is lacking in our life, we have to pursue peace. Those who do not have the Holy Spirit do not know the way of peace, and the way of peace comes to us through the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in the sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Paul further adds in Romans that it is through Jesus Christ we have peace with God that comes through faith, through the Holy Spirit that is given to each of us. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Paul encouraged the Romans to not do anything to judge another person or to put a stumbling block before another person, but to follow after the things which make for peace and which edify others. Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. To the Ephesians, Paul wrote that through Jesus Christ we have peace, as Jesus broke down the middle wall of partition that was found in the temple, and that through this newness that comes with Jesus, we have peace, having access through the Holy Spirit to God the Father. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the Christ, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He also shared with the Ephesians that we must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Peace is the glue that binds us together through love as the children of God. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. To the Colossians, Paul wrote to let the peace of God rule their hearts, and to be thankful, and to remember that we are the elect of God, to have mercy, kindness, humility, patience, and to be meek, to put up with and forgive others, and to base all in love. They were also told to keep the words of Jesus alive through their wisdom, to teach others through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and to do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote that they should be spiritually mature, comforting to others, having unity, and to live in peace, knowing that the God of peace would be with them. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Rejoicing was the theme that Paul concluded his letter to the Philippians. He commended them for their moderation and encouraged them not to live with worry, because the God of peace keeps our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. He concluded by telling them to focus on what is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, having virtue and being worthy of praise. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The Ephesians were told to prepare for spiritual battle, to fight against principalities, to wrestle against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And in part, we're told to use the gospel of peace, the gospel of the kingdom of God, as part of that spiritual fight. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of the salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Peter wrote in his first letter to seek peace and pursue it. Peter knew that peace is not only something that is to be desired, but something that requires effort. In the same letter, he also spoke of having compassion for each other, remembering we are children of God, to act with pity, to be courteous, and to respond with blessings when attacked, knowing that the eyes of God are on the righteous as he listens to their prayers. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Righteousness and peace are intertwined with the book of Psalms, giving us a description of these two kissing. Abraham met Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the king of peace. And because Rahab the harlot met the spies of Israel with peace, her life was spared. Peace must be part of our spiritual life. It will often be found with mercy, kindness, humility, and many other spiritual qualities. Peace is given to us through Jesus Christ, and it is through this peace that we fight our spiritual battles, knowing that the eyes of God are on the righteous and that his ears hear our prayers. We are to let the peace of God rule our hearts. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow on Pentecost. Until then, thank you for joining us today.